Good evening, everyone.
This is W2TTT, operating the station of the Bergen Amateur Radio Association, K2BAR. This is the weekly TechNet. The weekly TechNet is conducted on the 146.79 repeater, either in Paramus or in Franklin Lakes, as it is right now. These repeaters are operated along with 444-100 and 443-100 by the Bergen County FM Association, our brother-slash-sister club. We encourage all users of the repeaters to support the club and also to join the Bergen Amateur Radio Association. The purpose of the TechNet is to ask a question about amateur radio. Any question about amateur radio is, by definition, technical. So anything is fair game. You also may provide a comment if you have something you run across that strikes you as interesting. You may bring that to our attention as well. You need not be a member of the club in order to participate. And I'm going to have to, I don't have to get that. That's going to voicemail. Anyway, you do not need to be a member of the Bergen Amateur Radio Association in order to participate in the net. In fact, any amateur who's licensed to operate the 2-meter band is encouraged to participate. Even if you don't have a question or a comment, we encourage you to check in. The check-in process is amazingly simple and familiar to any licensed amateur. You provide your call sign, and then you provide whether or not you have a question or probably your name, and then a question or a comment. So it would go something like this, W2TTT, Gordon, and I have a question. Good evening. And then you would drop it and go from there. In any case, that's basically the process. So, we hope that you have questions and comments and hopefully few confusions after we help you answer them. So, on that note, I would like to take check-ins from anyone with a November call. Please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or a comment.
K2BAR, this is N2OEF. Name is Noel. I have a question.
Okay, Noel, very good. Good evening to you. I noted you have a question. Anybody else with a November call, please call K2BAR.
This is... NS2K, NS2K, Jim, no question.
NS2K, good evening, Jim. Welcome back. And anybody else? This is K2BAR with Looking for November Stations. Okay, how about Kilo Stations? How about Kilo Stations? This is K2BAR.
KF2ID, name is Ben, and I have a question.
KF2ID, no problem, Ben. Got your note with a question. Anybody else with a Kilo call, please call K2BAR.
K2AMI, Tony. No questions at the moment.
Okay, there were two stations there. I got K2AMI, no questions from Tony at this time. Good evening, Tony. Who was the other station who jumped in at that point? Okay, any other Kilo stations, please call K2BAR.
Yep.
I may have doubled with you now. Any Kilo stations, please call K2BAR. Okay, very fine. Any Alpha stations, please call K2BAR. Okay, and last but not least, do we have any Whiskey stations, please call K2BAR. Your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or a comment.
This is W2JEK, Don. No question.
Good evening, Don, W2JEK. Anybody else with a Whiskey call, please call K2BAR.
This is Whiskey India 2, Whiskey Steve. No questions.
Hey, Steve, good evening to you. Whiskey India 2 Whiskey from K2BAR. Anybody else? Any call sign, please call K2BAR. net recognizes N2OEL and S2K and KF2ID, K2AMI, W2JEK, Whiskey 2, India Whiskey. Anybody else, please call K2BAR. Alrighty, boys and... No, we have no girls, just boys. Alright. We have two questions on docket. I just want to post... I have a comment about a product that magically appeared under my tree, and I'm kind of excited about it. I've yet to put it to work, but I'm going to keep that in mind. It's really great for the mobile operator and possibly the portable operator. We'll talk about that later as a way to keep your battery voltage up. So, first things first. N2OEL, your question, sir, Noel. K2BAR.
K2BAR, this is N2OEL. As you know, we're revamping the station for the Kyostat Races over at the Sun Chemical. The problem appears to be that our cable run is approximately 300 feet. It appears that we need three scanners, one for the OEM coordinator, one for the assistant, and one for the radio operators. It also appears that we need three antennas, dual bander omnidirectional, another dual bander omnidirectional, and a beam antenna. And I was advocating the use of cheap RG6 quad shielded for the three scanners. For one reason, I have several hundred feet of it, and I think it would work adequately. Of course, you lose about 18 dB in 20 feet, 200, 300 feet, but I figure that's just about right for if you go to a decent discount at the roof. So the question is, are we going to have to spring for the expensive LMR-400, or is there an easier way to do it? Back to net, this is N2OEL.
All right, I'll make sure I have the problem statement clearly identified. The distance between the operating position and the radio antennas is 300 feet. I assume that's non-negotiable, which in itself is amazing. But that can be often the case. You have three scanners. I assume they're going to go to Discone antennas, as you suggested. And that the three antennas you identified were for amateur radio use, two Omnis and one Yagi. Well, you have choices. You do have choices. One, remote the radio equipment closer to the radio, closer to the antennas, and put control heads down below. That may in fact be cheaper than getting really good coax. 18 dB of attenuation in the coax is just not going to be acceptable. If you would like to simulate that, let's put this in perspective for you. If you take a 100-watt signal and you put it on the air and then put a 20 dB attenuator in front of it, and, or maybe, oh, what the heck, let's say you knock it down to a measly 2 watts instead of 100 watts. You know, there's your, about your 18 dB. That would be the difference in signal. So on the receive end, that's deadly. I mean, it's just awful. You will miss stuff. You'll miss stuff big time. So I would argue strenuously against your RG6 solution. I would look at either moving the radio shack, getting a remote RF deck for everything, or moving the moving the wallet in major ways to get some 7/8 celiacs. Do I dare say that? I would think 7/8 for 300 feet. I would think I wouldn't do anything less. I think that would be my my bottom line. Anybody else have a comment, would like to comment on this? This is K2BAR.
K2KCL repeater.
This is KF2ID. I have a comment.
Go ahead, Ben.
Well, one solution is to put preamps right up at the antenna. You can probably get 20 dB gain, 3 amps, if not more.
and that would take care of the cable loss. The noise figure would be set essentially by the preamp. Of course, you'd have to get power up to the preamp, and I'm not quite sure whether you can run power in the cable itself or not. I don't know. Maybe Tony knows. He uses preamps on the field stations in order to make up the cable loss. I don't know. I'm not quite sure if you mentioned this. The obvious, of course, is to somehow be able to get the transmitter, I mean the receiver, up near the cable, and they just bring the audio down. The audio loss wouldn't be anything worth talking about, you know, on just a good quality audio cable, which would be cheap. That's about the two solutions that I see. It's KF2ID.
Okay, I did mention remoting the RF decks. As far as remoting the preamp, it would have to be a bidirectional amplifier preamp with a power amp in it, because your 50-watt signal would be a 1-watt signal by the time it got out of the antenna. So that would be pretty horrendous. I would not advocate that at all. That really would just destroy this. Anything less than 70 teleacs, even on high band, would be pretty horrendous. I think UHF would be acceptable, but not great. So that's my take on that. I'm partial to the let's relocate the ham shack solution myself, but that may not be feasible. Anybody else with a comment? Please. Oh, regarding power, again, you would need a lot of voltage. The DC loss through the cable would be horrendous as well. You would have to look at the resistance, the loop resistance of the center conductor and the outer shield, and whatever that resistance is, that would be your voltage. That's how you'd calculate your voltage drop. So my guess is you'd probably be putting, I'm going to say, somewhere between 18 and 24 volts out there in order to get something between 12 and 15 volts at the amplifier under load. That would just be my guess, depending on which coax you used. So I think that's prohibitive as well. You have to remote the power supply and the amplifier, and have to be a bidirectional amplifier. And even then, your 50-watt radio would be providing 1 watt, maybe 2 watts of drive into your amplifier. It'd be pretty horrific. So I think we've kind of like transcended the basics here and kind of gotten into some really nasty performance points on the curve, as they say. Anybody else want to comment on Noel's question? This is K2BAR.
WI2W.
Good, Steve.
Yeah, good evening, gang. Nice to talk to you again, Noel. Preamps for scanners at the antenna, they will definitely work and overcome the loss in the coax. However, you may get all kinds of mixing products with a wideband preamp up at the top of the facility down there. So you'd have to test that out, and probably get up on the roof with the preamp, put a 20 dB attenuator between the preamp and your radio, and try it. But my guess is you're going to have all kinds of intermod products. It's going to be useless. I would suggest a different solution along the lines of what Gordon said, and go with one of the black box receivers, like an ICOM PCR 1000. That's an old model, but I know it's been updated a few dozen times. So maybe put three of those up there for the three scanners to solve your three scanner users, and then you really only have to get some DC power up there and a way to get the audio down, and that shouldn't be too difficult. So far as the VHF, UHF, let me drop it here. Yeah, you're going to want to go with hardline if you can get it, for the obvious reasons to get the loss to the absolute minimum. It's still going to be bad, but I would think you'd want to fund some good hardline, nice big fat stuff like Gordon was talking about. Other than that, you could try remoting the radios again up at the rooftop and put the control head down at the bottom, and that's probably the best answer. Certainly, it's going to be the cheapest.
Well, we were in a nice position before, and they needed some space for a lab. The space is being donated by the company. Unfortunately, the place they moved us was where another lab. It's a really nice basement office. Unfortunately, we moved. We checked out the lines. We have to go maybe 150 feet horizontally in the basement to get to the nearest shaft going up. We're in the bottom of another two floors above us, three floors above us. And it was measured. Bill measured it. And it comes just to 280 feet, 270 feet, but then you have to get it on the roof and go to the antennas, and the antennas have to have some separation. The thing is, I was going for RG6 just for the simple reason that some of the scanners that I have, bear in mind that we're going to mostly be looking for the cops and police and some of the local stuff. That's all going to be high power if you're running into a discount. These scanners are meant to be used with a little short antenna. So they have, a couple of the ones I have 20 dB attenuators built in. So you don't get intermod mixing products and stuff overloaded. So I figured the 18 dB or so loss in the RG6 would be just perfect for a scanner in that situation, and it would be a very cheap solution. I think we're just going to run one length and try it. The other thing I was thinking of, as bear in mind the two radios are new, or they were new, and they were purchased there. They don't have a lot of money. I'm thinking, what the heck, throw in some coax. We have 50 out in VHF. And put in I got a Mirage 2 watts in 120 out amplifier. Put it up at the top with the, you know, local, well, we have power up there near the roof because there's power all through the building. And so I put the 50 watts in the bottom, get 2 watts out at the Mirage amplifier, and then the other side will be 120 watts, and then the preamp would take care of the return trip. And I believe it's tuned. So I figured that would solve my problem pretty cheap. Back to K2BAR, N2OEF. Let me do JK.
They're done.
Yes, W2JEK, with a thought about all this, and all you mentioned that the police are on high power. Now, do they have a repeater system that you would be listening to their repeater? Or are you going to be listening, or are they a simplex system that's going to be somebody with a handy talkie down in the valley someplace behind a building trying to make it to headquarters without the benefit of a repeater? You have to know what kind of a system you're listening to. Back to Nat.
Answer, the police station's like 6 blocks away, and the only thing we care about is listening to the police station.
Alright.
Let me ask a question about the status of the OEM center. What happens if the police station is no longer functional? No longer functional.
Well, they wanted to put a police band radio in there too. Unfortunately, they would have to run the same thing, 300 feet for that, and I don't see how they're going to do it.
Well, I think that's the point. I think, you know, it's either remote radios or move the shack. Pick one.
It's going to be expensive, anything they do.
Okay, but understand something. These remote amplifiers we're talking about for amateur use aren't available for commercial services generally. I mean, they generally don't do that. So, you're kind of like barking up the wrong tree, as they say. So, you might want to talk to W2MR about it. But I think you're going to find pretty quickly that it's probably going to be like 1 5/8 coax or maybe heliax at, 7/8. Or not at all. I mean, I think that's really your bottom line. I mean, your bottom line is that, you can't sustain that kind of loss in your system. And, you're looking to bypass the coax and put all sorts of complication in your system. That really is not going to be a performance win at the end of the day. So I think you'd be far better off to case with a, pardon me, with a, with some really honking coax. I'm going to pick on somebody here who knows this argument very well and probably has something similar in his world professionally. NS2K, what do you say, Jim? K2BAR.
K2GCL, repeater.
Good evening, Gordon, and folks, oh boy, NS2K here. I would say you may want to talk to Mr. IP tomorrow, in as much as he typically does these installations for commercial and public safety purposes. I think you'll find that in virtually all cases, they will put the radio gear as close as possible to the antenna and then put remote heads up. They are available certainly on police bands and other radios that you can operate on amateur bands. And he may be a source. The other folks that I pointed you toward a few weeks ago, Noel, may also be a source of similar kind of equipment. The gear that they would use, there's a lot of older gear available for VHF, UHF, and the various police bands and whatever. There's a lot of not brand new, but certainly functional stuff available. Shouldn't be a problem. NS2K.
Yep, I would agree. I mean, it's either going to be remote DRF or get some fat coax. Pick one. There's some really cool scanners, by the way, that you can control by computer, too. That's another thing to think about as well. But again, the more complicated you make the technology, the more points of failure you have. So it's something to give due consideration to say the least. But I would get those losses down to something civilized. Alrighty. Anybody else with a comment for Noel with his dilemma on loss? This is K2BAR.
W2JK.
Good, John. I'm done.
As W2JK, one thought, you can instead of piping 150 megahertz through a piece of coax, put a converter up there that would make it down to something like 14 megahertz, and with a transverter type of a thing. Also, if you have a fixed frequency receiver, that's what your objective is, or do you have just one frequency you're going to be listening to with each radio, or are you going to be wanting to change the frequency that you're receiving on? So that's then that would mean control features. If you just had a fixed frequency receiver, you could mount it up there and just bring the audio down. It wouldn't be a problem, as much of a problem as there wouldn't be any need for control if you have a fixed, let's say, like the old mobile radios had a fixed frequency with a crystal controlled receive crystal. Something in that idea, not necessarily that particularly, but in that vein, so to speak. Over.
Yeah, sorry about that. Okay. Yep. Those are possibilities, certainly. You know, I think it, again, comes down to short coaxes, either short coaxes or low-loss coax. I think down-converting is not something that's real common in that world. So there might be some limits to that. So anyway. Alrighty, Noel, any further comments from you before we move on?
Yes. You realize, of course, I don't care about the police radio. That's their problem. All I care is about the amateur gear. We need one radio, basically omnidirectional, basically tuned to 146.535 for the net, for whatever. We need a second radio, frequency agile, because we might need to listen to other repeaters. We might want to work simplex to somebody. We might want to... That's what the beam is for, hopefully, to to get to one of the Trent repeaters so we could work Trenton if we had to. It was marginal before. Now it's 300 feet of antenna instead of before we had 100 feet of, what was it, 213? Yeah. I don't think we're going to make it. I was leaning toward the remote head myself, but the problem with that is it's channelized. What are you going to get, 8 channels, 16 channels? That's about it. I'm going to check it to see if the radios that they bought new and paid like $300 or $400 a piece for them are able to be remoted adequately, because that would be make much more sense to run down 300 feet of telephone wire, basically, have the power fed up upstairs, have it remotely turned on and off, perhaps with an X10 or you know, basically a relay, because you could do that with light wire, and the power losses would be a minimum. You gave me some thoughts to think about. K2BAR and 2OEL.
Just one more. Can they move the shack?
It's politically unfeasible. We go where they say they have the space. And unfortunately, the police station or the public service building or the town hall does not have the space. And the way they have it set up, it's supposed to be Bergen County, Southern Bergen County, and the backup to the state, believe it or not, because they have helicopter landing facilities. So their thoughts are they need, I don't know, they have like 10 computer stations set up. They have a minimum of 12 or 14 desks for each of the police agencies. And they should have asked somebody about the radios before they made the decision to move everything downstairs in such a manner, in such a spot. N2OEL.
Well, let me give you something else to chew on. Whether or not they fix, or whether or not it's your problem that the police radio is there, you're going to find that their RF problems are going to be your RF problems, because they're going to throw all sorts of money, power, and God knows what at the problem and desense a radio that already is operating way, way below par. I don't believe it's going to work unless they make some of these concessions. I mean, again, your three choices are move the shack, move, you know, a lot of money around to get remote control radios, or move a lot of money around to get really honking fat coax. Those are your options, period. I mean, you know, the laws of physics don't change. And you're going to be interacting with that, and believe me, you know, Intermod being what it is, they're not going to function in the manner in which you just described, the backup for this, the backup for that, blah, 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 blah. That's not going to happen. It just will not work unless they, you know, address the constraints of the laws of physics. It's not something that, you know, politics and such can address. You know, they've already made their boneheaded decisions without thinking it through, and now they have to deal with the consequences of the decisions or decide to change them. That's just the way it is. Anyway, what you may want to do is go to a neighboring town and ask them to actually set up to do the function of the Karlstad, because Karlstad is not going to be able to do what they've set out to do, and they'll need help. They'll need help listening to an HD across town based on what you're describing. And you want everything to be frequency agile, by the way. That's just an observation. You don't want a radio fixed on 535 and not be able to go somewhere else, because you never know. Anyway, enough said. All righty. I think we're going to put the ribbons on this, okay? Mr. Noel?
I'm happy. And to OEO.
Okay. Mr. Ben, before we get to you with your question, I just want to make an announcement that we will have a amateur radio licensing course tomorrow, starting at 10 o'clock at St. John the Evangelist Roman Catholic Church in Bergenfield. People need to come around 9:45 or so. If they're going to come, they need to bring their social security number and a photo ID and $25. That will cover the cost of a test, that will cover the cost of a couple of meals, and snacks and miscellaneous administrivia. So feel free to come, and around 6:30 we'll start filling out, what do you call it, test applications. And about 7 or so, when the VE team is fully assembled by Mr. Don, W2JEK, and his able companions, we will have technician class testing, courtesy of Don's testing, which is most excellent. And so, it will be a long day, but we have a nice setup arranged, and we look forward to seeing if we can even expand the 20 people, I think, that are on the hook right now to come. It's amazing. Anyway, so, if anyone is interested in that, please, bring that up after we deal with Ben's question. So, KF2ID, your question, sir. This is K2BAL.
K2GCL, repeater.
Okay, I have a very simple question. I'm just wondering if anybody has used the EchoLink mode in amateur radio and what their experience with it is. I want to make one small comment on Noel's question. As far as losses to the preamp is concerned, preamp only takes a few milliamps, 100 milliamps, I don't know, so the voltage drop on a cable is not a serious problem. The other thing is that he has a very strong police station nearby. If you know it's fixed in frequency, that is, if it stays on a fixed frequency, you can put a fairly simple RF trap for it. Just with that, I'll let that discussion go. This is KF2ID.
Okay, Bennett, your question?
Did you get my question? I'm sorry. I thought I gave it. I said, does anybody use the EchoLink mode in amateur radio? And if so, what their experiences with it is?
Anybody have experience with it? This is K2BAR. Well, I have experience with it. Let me relocate and go grab the thing I'm going to talk about. And while I'm running up the stairs, would anyone like to comment about EchoLink? This is K2BAR.
I have one comment, WITW.
Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, Ben, I missed your question, but I was on the landline at the time. But I have I have used EchoLink to speak with one of my satellite buddies out in Colorado at length, and it worked very well. You both have to be hams to use it, and I take that back. That might not be the case. I think that's true with IRLP. I don't know now, to be honest with you. But it did work extremely well. Used the push to talk switch on the keyboard and the headset, and it was great stuff. So I liked EchoLink, and it made talking to my friend for a half an hour or an hour possible, whereas the satellites that are currently up only let you have 10-minute QSOs, and then you tend to annoy other folks unless you're on one of the sideband birds. So I don't know if that answered your question, but back to you.
Yeah, Ben.
Well, I was just thinking of people, a more general use, incidentally, to answer the statement about whether or not you need a ham license, you only need a ham license if you're going RF through it. Once you put an RF in the middle of it, once you start activating your transmitter, then you need RF. Presumably, you could use EchoLink just with a keyboard to a computer, and the other individual has a keyboard and a computer, and then theoretically, you don't need a license. But I think you have to register, right? You have to register for it. Am I not right? And maybe at that point, you need a license, and also you to be accepted. So maybe that's. But you can answer that better than me because you registered for it. But I'm just wondering if you had people that, you know, use it more general and had more general use for it. KF2ID.
Well, let me share it. Yeah, I've used it as well. In fact, the other night I was talking with Dave, Golf 3, Victor Fox Peter, and he's over north and west of Manchester in the UK, and he came in on 224.06 on the Echolink over there, as he used to do many times in the past, but the repeater is no longer in Garrett Mountain, so its coverage is a little more reduced these days, although it'll get better next year sometime when Roche fixes actually adds to the new building next year. And they put the repeater on top of the new building, the new extended building. And so that'll be very nice. And then I reminded him of 146, 955 has it. And that's the node I was able to think about. And of course we have one here on 440. I think it's 444-100 or 443-100, but I couldn't remember the node number. Whether it was K2GCL K2BAR. Not K2AR, I'm sorry. I forget what the other call is now. But anyway, bottom line is that we ended up flipping back and forth on Christmas Eve. It was very nice. Jim, go ahead.
W2JEK.
Oh, I'm sorry. Don, go ahead.
Okay, I've been on the Millennium Net. It's on Wednesday night on 6 meters on 50.135, 9 o'clock it starts. And gives you conflicts with the Barra's 2-meter net, but after the Barra net I go on and I use it there, and they have a node set up there where the Echolink people are put out on the air on the go into RF on the 6-meter sideband, and which is a transmitter located in North Jersey here. So they have coverage of the New York City metropolitan area. Now, Ray, W2RJJ, was one of the people that runs the group, was visiting China, and he was able to access the Echolink a couple occasions from Shanghai, where his wife's relatives live. So another thing works, and we've also had people on from various areas of the United States here, the 48 states. So it does work. And there's a little delay between when you turn it over to somebody and you have to wait till they press their button and all that, but it does work.
Yeah, it certainly does. It works extraordinarily well. And maybe one night we should have a demonstration of how one hooks that up. That'd be a good club talk. I think that would be an excellent club talk, actually. We'll pass that information on to Bruce. And although I have to get a valid email address for Bruce, because I thought he had an AWRL one. He clearly does not. But, that's the kind of thing that would be just splendidly excellent. I used it with talking to the UK. The other night on 955, on 224.06. I think it was on 955. We had a station in a VK2, two W2s. One was in the third district, actually. A G3 and myself as another W2. So it was kind of neat. So there were five of us in a round table, and kind of a little squirrely, but that's okay. It was great fun. Mitch's IRLP, link works a little differently. Those systems are totally closed, meaning you will use the prescribed hardware, you will use the prescribed software. It's not an open system
per se, and there are people who kind of chafe at that. There are people who relish in that. I don't know. I'm not going to get crazy over it. You know, it works. It's another way to tie the internet to radio, and I think that's pretty cool. The station you would use as an individual station would be a thing called Echo Station. So if you want to set up your PC and go off through a broadband link to access either a remote repeater or a remote base or something.